the 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch with the entire unsportsmanlike crew scheduled to appear. I know we had some technical issues earlier in the day. They're scheduled to join us at 10:30. So let's get going with the prize picks of the week.
Let's win some money, friends. Real projections courtesy of Prize Picks. And download the app today. Use code WI. Play $5, get $50 instantly. These are real projections for tonight's game. Jaden Daniels, we're going to start with. This is one I'm curious about and how the Packers are going to defend him. More or less than 45.5 rushing yards. For Washington quarterback Jaden Daniels. What do you like there, old T?
I would think it's going to be less. That, to me, as I said in the keys to the game, that will be the difference in tonight's game. If the green and gold preview, correct. Sorry, I know Jason was going to correct me there.
I was not.
That's the key.
I just corrected you on whether I was going to correct you or not, though.
Every dog gets his day. That, to me, is the storyline of the game and the going to be the difference maker when you take turnovers out of the equation. And I think they'll go less. Micah Parsons, his quote was awesome. Basically, yeah, he can run, but so can I type of deal. And he is a lion chasing down a gazelle. It will be a
He's chasing
fun
a
matchup
commander,
to see
though.
how Jeff Hafley keeps that all in play. But the difference in why I am not as worried about running quarterbacks as I have been in the past, Coop is he is something else now. So there's layers to this, and our linebackers can run with Jaden Daniels, and that's why I'm taking less on the yardage rushed by JD.
I agree with Tausch. Next
up, Jordan Love, more or less than 226.5 passing yards. He was way under on Sunday
indeed.
Against the Lions.
Yeah, I'm going less again. This is a defensive-led football team.
I've heard that.
This is a group that it's not going to be about, you know. The other thing is, we saw one big play to Dobbs. Where's the big yardage going to come? I think Matt LaFleur is going to look at this game, especially if there's some issues on the O-line. Let's just play smart here. We don't have to set records on the offensive side. We can work our way through. Let everybody kind of get a beat. You know, the thump looked fine. The receivers, you know, guys that missed a lot of camp. This is a JJ game to me. So I'm going to go less.
JJ in Dodgeville?
No, you were too rude to him. You're a lot nicer to J.J. Josh Jacobs than J.J. and Dobbs.
I was not. Rude is so over the top inaccurate.
Jesse, how would you describe his interactions with J.J. there?
Brief.
Thank you. Okay. Perfect. Yes. Expedited would be the word I would use.
Transactionary.
Transactional. Okay. I agree with Tausch again. I would go fewer passing yards for Jordan Love. When? How many 300-yard passing games will he have this season?
I would set the number at 3.5, and I'd take less.
Yeah. I 3 for 3. I agree with Tausch on that, too. Jesse, what's next?
Next up in our prize picks of the week, Romeo Doubs. This was a big winner for us last week.
It was.
Romeo Doubs, more or less than 41.5 receiving yards. Still not that many. He went over 36.5 last week. Tausch?
Yeah, I'd say more. It doesn't take a ton. And Romeo is right now he'd be the 1A as far as the receiving core goes for Jordan Love. So, yeah, I'm going to go more.
I'm going to go less. First disagreement.
Good.
I thought last week it was easy pickings on that. I did not expect the 48-yarder, but I expected him to have one big-ish play, which he had, of 20 yards. I figured he'd have another catch or two to get him over. he got that all in one fell swoop with that 48-yarder. I just think it's going to be somebody different every week. And I think that this will be the week where maybe he's not quite as productive and he stays under that number. Next!
Receptions is always a tricky category on Prize Picks because it kind of depends how the game's going. Matthew Golden, more or less than 3 receptions tonight. He had 2, I believe, on Sunday.
I like more. I think you saw his explosiveness and you saw, I don't know how many targets he had last week, but you just feel like it's going to go a little bit more. I don't think by a ton. I would probably steer clear on this one. This isn't one I love, but since you're forcing me and I'm not going to say the Jason Wilde, I don't know. I will say more, but I don't have strong conviction about it.
I don't know. I'm with Tausch. I don't have strong conviction either. I would steer clear of this one if I were you, Jesse.
Last one, we're going back to this well. Brandon McManus and Matt Gay, the two kickers, more or less than 50.5 yards, longest made field goal. So do they make from 51 or longer, or is everything shorter than that tonight, Tausch?
No, I'll say more again. I think last week it didn't happen. Kicking a 51-yard field goal used to be like, oh, my God, what a kick. Now we got a guy kicking a 60-yard game winner, and he's like, no big deal. 60's the new 50. 70's the old 60. So I don't think this is that big a deal. You get them they're going to give these guys opportunities. It used to be, 54 yards, we'll punt because we want to keep it. Now it's, 54. 50's the 40, 60's the 50, 70's the 60. I'm going more.
What's the 20?
I don't even have them anymore.
Yeah, you just go for it.
Got rid of them.
Yeah. I'll join that club, as Homer likes to say. We would not have won on this last week. We would have lost.
Jesse, where is that under? Is that under popular, or what is that under? Which Prize Picks?
You got to scroll.
Put my Prize Picks in right now.
Yeah, you got to scroll a little bit to the right. Under all the different categories on the NFL tab, but longest made field goal is, I believe, what it's labeled
as. Field goal yards combo?
Nope, that's different, because that's how many combined field goals they make in the yardage of it.
Okay.
That's a tricky one.
Field goals made. Oh, longest made field goals. Okay. I see that now.
There it is.
I'm hitting more. Just for the record, look at it. I'm hitting more.
All right.
Not everybody's got your sensitive information. While you're hitting more, could you also tell us more about Prize Picks?
I certainly can. You and I, we make decisions every day on Prize Picks. You know what's great? Being right. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right, and it's simple to play. Go more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. Get your picks right and cash in. I just gave you mine. Jesse, here's what I'm going to do. Travis Kelce, more. And I'm going to go tonight. I'm going Jaden Daniels less. What was the yardage?
45.5 yards, rushing yards.
Okay, 45.5. I'm going less. I'm going less on Jordan Love pass yards. And I'm going to go more on the field goals with McManus and I don't know whatever the kicker's name for Washington. That's what I'm going to do tonight. And I'm going to have fun watching that. Prize Picks, and I'm hoping I'm going to be right. Prize Picks offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick and easy deposits into your account this football season. It is the best way to cash in during football. And you know what? Make your opinions. You feel strong about them. Jason, I think Jesse agreed on this. Doesn't mean we're going to be right, but if we are, we will get paid. Download the app today. Use code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That is code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Man, it is good to be right.
Oh, well, ad lib there. Bam! It sure is. The Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week are next. So stay tuned. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Don't break it. Love me to my bones.
for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Don't sleep, you
gotta stay up. Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilby and Tausch.
It is time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. And the 565 Analytics Collective, a group that is clearly unbiased, selected Mark Tauscher as last week's winner.
Wow, you didn't honestly think you had a chance at all when my guy made a pick, did you?
Let's see who Tausch picks as his winner this week.
It was over when he had
the pick.
Does
that mean he did?
It was
over. You didn't think you won last week, did you? Like, there's some weeks that there's like a little bit of, oh, maybe, but that last week wasn't it.
Dobbs
right?
didn't even have a touchdown last week.
Who's your pick this week?
You thought Dobbs? You thought the number one guy would be the sleeper? With no tutters? Oh, come on now. That's cute. That's really cute. I think I'm going to stick on the defensive side of the football because I don't know if you've heard. It's a defensive-driven football team, and it will drive the bus. Josh Jacobs, I think, is going to steal the show tonight and have a big-boy game. And he obviously is not eligible from a Steinhoffel standpoint. So I think the guy everybody has been raving about, not Micah Parsons, but who Micah Parsons has been raving about, is going to get a little jolt. And with Micah still not playing his full amount of snaps, there's a young man from Iowa who I think is going to make a big boy play, maybe have a sack or something, but also maybe create a turnover. Lucas Van Ness is my Steinhoffel's sleeper of the week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesse, who are you taking?
Many of the same reasons Tausch just stated, but someone else on defense who we saw a little bit more from last week, and I loved it, Quay Walker is my Steinhoffel's sleeper of the week. Hoping for a big play, potential turnover-type play for Quay Walker in tonight's game.
He had been he would have estimated as having missed practice earlier in the week, but happy to report he is off the injury report and he will play. Micah Parsons still remains listed as questionable, just like the offensive linemen do, which is one of the reasons why I still think the injury report is bogus. All right, my pick is Dontavion Wicks. Dontavion Wicks.
Good pick. That's a good pick.
We will see if he is able to deliver some productivity and maybe get a touchdown, which would certainly help his chances of being selected as the winning Steinhoffel sleeper of the week. Or maybe he'll get an interception. September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and Steinhoffel's has teamed up with Special Spaces Wisconsin to do something really special. Here's how easy it is. Just stop by Steinhoffel's this month and test rest any mattress. When you do, you'll get a $20 restaurant gift card, so dinner's on Steinhoffel's, and Steinhoffel's will donate $20 to Special Spaces Wisconsin. So if 100 people come in, it's $2,000 to Special Spaces Wisconsin. Plus, they got the field goal thing going. And I mean, it's just such a great cause, and I love that Steinhoffel's continues to support Special Spaces Wisconsin. They're an incredible group that creates dream bedrooms for kids battling cancer. So swing by Steinhoffel's this September. Take a test rest. Enjoy a night out. And help make a child's dream bedroom come true. The gang from Unsportsmanlike is scheduled to appear. Hopefully. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Let's make tonight the weekend. I don't want to wait.
Wildy and Tausch rolls on, and it's a special Thursday, not just because there's Thursday night football at Lambeau Field, but our friends from Unsportsmanlike are in the house, or at least some of them are, or at least some of them are going to be on the program. Joining us now
We're here.
The Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios. Canty, I knew you were there. I never had a doubt about you.
I'm always going to be on Coughlin. Listen, Wildy, you know I'm always going to be on Coughlin time, right? So if you're not 5 minutes early, you're late, right? It's $500 per minute. After 5 minutes, it's a missed meeting. It's 20 grand. So you knew I wasn't going to be late. Now those other two, I mean, I can't guarantee.
Those other two.
I didn't want to be on, to be honest. Just saying.
Oh, funny. The feeling is mutual. That's interesting.
I'll leave, Tausch.
Before we get into it.
Oh, it's that guy.
Since Chris was nice enough to be here on time, I did have a question for him. You played, help me out here, 4 years in Dallas, 4 with the Giants, and 3 with the Ravens?
That is correct, sir.
Okay, so we know that we converted Michelle to her Packers fandom after the Rams abandoned her in St. Louis. When it comes to a team that, and we know Evan's going to root for whoever Bill Belichick is coaching and whoever Tom Brady is quarterbacking, what's your team nowadays, Chris?
I get to claim any team that gave me a W-2. That's my philosophy.
Tausch, would you do the same? Tausch, this is interesting. Tausch, if you played for another team, would you do the same?
Yeah.
Like, instead of playing you played for the Packers, let's say you did 5 for the Packers and 5 for the – let's do Bulaga. You did 5 for the Packers and 5 for the Chargers. Who would you root for?
If it was 5-5, I'd go both. But if it was 10-1, I would go with 10. I don't think.
Jeff Saturday is a Packers fan?
Yeah, something like that. I think you'd go with where you won your championships. I would have guessed that Chris would have said Baltimore and New York, and then the Cowboys was just kind of the fun, beginning of it. But yeah, I would agree with Canty. If you can obviously claim whoever was paying you. You can be a part of that if it kind of fits what you want to do.
So, Michelle.
Yeah, listen, it's convenient for me. I get to claim whoever's on top. And right now, I'm more of a Ravens fan than anybody else just because the Cowboys and the Giants ain't giving us a hell of a lot to root for.
So, I have no idea how I'm going to disperse and point guard this portion of the program with this many people on it, but I'm going to do my best. Michelle, I would start with you. You have been now to Lambeau before, so it's old hat for you as a Packers fan. What are you excited about tonight, though?
Well, I'm excited to see the Packers continue from their performance in week one. Like, of course, I'm excited to go to Lambeau. As CC always says, it's hallowed ground. You know how special it is to be there, the energy that the crowd is going to have tonight. And as a new Packer backer, it's always awesome for me to be there and continue my fandom. But seeing what the Packers did in a complete win in week one, not only against any opponent, but against the Detroit Lions, the team that was not only the King of the North last year, but the most dynamic offense in football. Seeing what the Packers defense did to that unit was so encouraging. And a lot of people are thinking that it could be Packers Commanders or Packers Eagles. These are two of the potentially three teams that are going to be in the mix for the NFC that we could see in the NFC Championship game. So seeing how they fare again in week two versus the Commanders, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to no traffic on the way there and no traffic on the way home. It's really the key for everything tonight. And obviously great football once we're there. But I think the idea of the Packers playing a huge game and the fans realizing, all of the amazing Packers fans realizing how great that team is and us experiencing how great the fans think that team is what I would be looking forward to tonight. CC?
Tonight I...
What are you interrupting me? You
I didn't know you were running the speak. Show. Let me Go. Step back. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, damn right.
Go ahead. Don't be so sensitive.
J-Dub, Tausch, can I actually talk? Or
yeah,
do you
absolutely.
Want me to ignore Evan Cohen like I typically do?
Unlike on your show, Chris, you have the floor. You can talk as much as you want.
That's a great point. Yeah, Evan's always cutting me off. Mm. But no, I'm looking forward to seeing that defense up close and personal, whether or not it's legit. That's what I want to see. Like, as dominant as they were in week one against the Detroit Lions, it caught me by surprise. I did not expect that from Micah. I did not expect that from the team. They overwhelmed the Detroit Lions with energy and physicality, and those are calling cards for the Detroit Lions in the Dan Campbell era of that franchise. And so if they're capable of doing that week one, when the Detroit Lions, coming off of a season when they went undefeated in the division, I'm excited to see what the encore is for this Packers team on a short week against what is the most dynamic quarterback in the conference.
Yeah, Chris, you just said dynamic, and that's what, from a D lineman standpoint, and Micah Parsons has made some comments. Jared Goff, in essence, is a statue, right? Like, he is going to get to his spot, yeah. The ball's coming out. Jaden Daniels causes a lot of other things that you have to think about. How, as a D lineman, how do you approach that? Because you don't want to take away that downhill attack mode, but you realize you can't let him get outside the pocket. That's where he's going to do a bunch of damage. But he's really good in the pocket. What do you think, Green Bay? How do you think Green Bay is going to approach that tonight?
I think that should be the biggest concern for Packers fans going into tonight's game. Can your pass rush be tied together on a string? Can you make sure that you're gapped out when it comes to your pass rush lanes? Here's the thing that people don't realize about pass rush. It takes all four guys rushing the quarterback for the one guy to get the sack. I mean, Big Dog, you know this because you've spent a lot of your career trying to defend against this, but it has to take those guys being in the right positions in order for the one guy to take advantage of his matchup in order to get the sack. You got to keep the quarterback caged in the pocket. You can't let him out. You can't let him escape from where the pressure is coming from. And with Micah Parsons, yeah, he's had a lot of success from an individual production standpoint against Jaden Daniels. But that was with the Dallas Cowboys, guys that he spent 4 years working with in terms of developing rapport and chemistry rushing the quarterback. This is going to be different tonight because he literally just showed up to Green Bay a couple of weeks ago. Are they going to be tied together enough to keep Jaden Daniels in the pocket, to be able to apply pressure on him, not let him escape, not have those second reaction plays where they get huge explosives in the passing game downfield?
I was just going to let
Tausch,
Chris keep
talking.
Talk.
That's,
I'm not going to sit here
respond
and just
from the other
the
side of the ball.
Thing.
I think we must be on a delay, or Tausch is just moving unbelievably slowly tonight.
Okay.
Yeah?
Great. Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. So, Jaden Daniels. I am intrigued by this because you guys, again, you always have the national perspective that we sometimes or frequently lack. Do most people think that Jaden Daniels is far and away better than Jordan Love? Is that the prevailing national opinion? Is there a big gap in the national view of those two quarterbacks?
I don't know if I would say it's a huge gap, but I think the prevailing sense is that a guy in his rookie season who took a 4-win Washington team to the Final Four, again, in his first year, they think that he is, as we just did a panel, and CeCe very beautifully illustrated how different Jaden Daniels is than everybody else and how the trajectory that he is on, you can't compare any of these other young quarterbacks to him. So I would say, I don't know if you guys agree, but from a national perspective, I think if we were ranking it, most people would put Jaden Daniels above Jordan Love while acknowledging that Jordan Love is really good. They just need to see it more consistently.
I think if you were to do it this way, guys, if you were to say, let's power rank. CeCe does it every Tuesday, 6 a.m. here on ESPN Wisconsin.
What a plug!
Look at that.
If you were to power rank each season, combine the seasons that they have both have had, Jordan Love and Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels' season last year is greater than any season that Jordan Love has had. Right? Jason, Mark, would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
He had a great year last year, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the sample size is only 1 year. And that sample was so unbelievable that I think that's why people look at Jaden Daniels above Jordan Love. Now, that said, if it flip-flops, sure. Like, that's not something that's, like, wild to think. Nobody's going to sit here and say it's going to flip-flop with Spencer Rattler. We're saying it's going to flip-flop with Jordan Love and Jaden Daniels. And I think that's why we're here. This is such a big game tonight, and it's such a big deal that I think that these two quarterbacks, both are top five, top 10 caliber quarterbacks when things are right for them.
So, Efco, we have been on the let your young quarterback sit. I don't think they should play in the first year. We've seen the success Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love. We've seen this movie, Patrick Mahomes. But then Jaden Daniels, pretty much to our hypothesis, says, you don't know what you're doing. You saw what he did.
Yeah.
Is it just that he's such a unicorn? Or how do we explain that? Because I still believe that is the right way to bring a quarterback into this league.
I agree with you, Tausch, and I'm going to refer to something that CeCe said upstairs at this this get-together we just had here with some of the great fans and partners of Unsportsmanlike and ESPN Wisconsin. That was in between Gabe Neitzel for some reason breaking down the shift in baseball, which put everybody to sleep. But anyway, what CeCe said is don't compare any young quarterback ever to Jaden Daniels. So two things, CeCe, can be true. Well, the way Tausch and I believe that to be the case, and Jaden Daniels is just different than everyone else ever.
Yeah, here's the thing. I disagree with that take. I think the best way to get better at football is by playing football, right? And it's a lot less about the quarterback being ready to go and a lot more about the roster around him being ready to go, right? Like, I mean, Trey Lance sat for the San Francisco 49ers his rookie year. How'd that turn out?
Mm-hmm.
Can't play dead.
And they had a good roster.
Yeah, and they had a good roster. Now, conversely, when you look at Dak Prescott, he wasn't supposed to play,
right,
but ends up being the week one starter as a fourth round draft pick. And even though he really wasn't the bus driver his rookie year, the team around him was good enough where he could actually excel doing some of the things that he excelled at. Same thing with Russell Wilson taking over for the Seattle Seahawks. They actually signed a guy, Matt Flynn, from the Green Bay Packers to be their starting quarterback, and they realized the guy they drafted in the third round was better.
Yep.
So there are plenty of examples throughout the NFL. Oh, well, we've got a guy, and we don't know if we want to play him early or not. We think it's better to sit him. Why? I don't think it makes sense. Like, I understand people saying, well, you got to wait until the kid is ready. Well, I likened it earlier this week to having a kid. Like, you can do all of the classroom work, but nothing can prepare you once the kid gets here. Once you give birth and have the kid, it's like, oh, all of a sudden now I've got to learn on the job. That's playing NFL quarterback. It's a lot of on-the-job training, and the only way you're going to get good at it is by actually doing it.
Speaking of kids, Tausch, you thoroughly enjoyed on Saturday when we were at dinner my kids going after me, because Smalls and CeCe have never seen this happen, and you witnessed it for the first time. Would you like to – because they're dying to hear someone put me in my place in my own life like this. Would you like to explain what happened?
Yeah, I was a little surprised because you know, your on-air persona is, you know, very bold. You're very bold. But your son was giving you grief on pretty much everything, and you did not – you love a good debate. You want to stir conversation. And when he came at you, you kind of cowered. Is that – would you say that's a fair assessment of what we saw at the tornado room?
I would say that. My son also came at you for some reason, which I thought was very dumb. I don't know. I have no idea.
What did Rory learn
that was the right move. But yeah. What?
Like father, like son.
You go after Tosh all the time.
Anyway, no, I back down. Well, he doesn't hear. What do you think, Jason? In school, he's streaming Wildy and Tausch in New York?
He should be.
Hey, Scott, I'm sure he's got the ESPN Wisconsin app.
He's a podcast guy.
Yeah, later. Podcast. Yeah. After school.
Yeah, he put me in my place. Not going to lie about that. All right.
CeCe, is it true that you don't get to talk enough on your actual show? Because I have a bunch more questions for you. So if you want to make up for that.
Yeah, I'm always about getting the ball and putting up shots. I'm a volume shooter, as you all may well know.
Uh-huh.
But it just so happens that I have a point guard that doesn't want to pass me the ball. Mm-hmm. So that's what I have to deal
wow,
with on a day-to-day basis.
Without the accuracy. Is it fair?
Something like that.
All right, well, good. Then I'm going to be a point guard, and I'm going to feed my shooter. All right, first one I have for you. Tausch is convinced. Tausch, tell me if I'm misquoting you, as you always want me to be accurate. Tausch is convinced that the Green Bay Packers in 2025 are going to be a defense-led team. Do you see this defense being good enough to fulfill Tausch's expectation for the Green Bay Packers?
Yes. And so we're clear, the expectation is winning a Super Bowl, period.
Mm-hmm.
They are one of the three teams in the NFL where there genuinely is no other definition for success for 2025. It's the Kansas City Chiefs, it's the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Green Bay Packers. Winning a championship is the only way you can call it a successful season. Everything else is a failure.
And Canty, that's all because of the Micah Parsons pickup, correct?
Yes, that is correct. You don't dole out the kind of contract that you did and give up the kind of assets that you did in order to come close. You do that because you're pot committed to winning a championship. You believe you have a roster that's good enough, and Micah Parsons is the finishing piece. You're paying him quarterback money. You got two guys on your roster that you're paying quarterback money to, elite quarterback money. Your pass rusher and your quarterback. That means that your team is supposed to compete and win championships.
Hey, Smalls, if Green Bay does get there, will it be because Micah Parsons has made this defense that much better, or is it because Jordan Love has been consistent, if you had to pick one, has been consistent and is an MVP candidate?
Ooh, that's tough because I think the answer is yes to both. But if I had to choose one, even though Micah Parsons is obviously an incredible addition to this defense, they were a strong unit prior. I mean, he adds a different depth. He adds versatility in a really severe way. But coming into the season before the Micah addition, we said we need to see that next gear from Jordan Love. We need him to take that next step. We need him to limit the turnovers. We need to see him be consistent. And if he doesn't do that, even though we say it could be a defensive-led team, I don't know how far they'll go. So I would say it has to be more of Jordan Love than the defense.
Oh, okay. And lastly for me, guys, both for Canty and Smalls, because we don't want Evan talking anymore. Most annoying thing about Evan Cohen, Michelle, especially on travel side, we saw you guys blogging this yesterday. What annoys you most about Evan Cohen?
Blogging?
Oh, gosh. Well, how to narrow it down to one thing. This is a difficult task. You know what Evan does a lot is he constantly tells you how much he's eating. He's like, oh, man, I can't stop eating. I can't stop eating. I'm like, well, just stop. Just stop. And you don't have to give me the captain's log of every time you go back to the buffet, Evan. Like, you can just eat as however much you want. You don't have to tell everyone about it all the time.
Yeah. Cece, they don't want me talking, so you're going to have to go on this one.
Oh, wow. You have nothing to say? First time ever.
Yeah. They said don't talk. Yeah. I also can't argue that.
You know what? You know what gets me, guys?
Oh, no. He's taking
this
seriously.
I am taking this seriously. Oh, no. You know what gets me? You know what gets me about Evan Cohen? He turns every take, everything we say, into a rap song.
Oh, he does do
that. He references a rap song every time we have a take.
Wow.
He turns it into a rap song. I don't know how many times I've heard Palms of Sweaty, Mom's Spaghetti.
He
does it all the time.
You loved it, though. You loved it.
I wonder where she gets it from. Evan Cohen turns everything into a rap song.
Well, this has been fun, guys. I really enjoyed the roast here. Nikki Glaser coming up next. Jeffrey Ross will be here as well.
All right. I do have a serious question for Canty because we have his undivided.
We got to go, Jason. Hurry up.
You got time. And by the way, the last time Canty was on with us, he was being distracted by a fake mooning by Warren Moon. So I want to take advantage of having his undivided attention.
That's right. That happened at the Super Bowl.
Moon by Moon.
So I just wanted to ask you about this because this was one of my favorite things I've heard from a coach in a really long time. Jeff Hafley was talking about the way his defense played on Sunday, and his big thing, and I'm sure he's not the first to do this, is that when he hits pause on the film, he wants to see all 11 hats close to or approaching the football. I'm sure you've played on great defenses. I understand that most coaches demand that, but is that as defining of a how good this defense is and how well it's playing together as any other measure? Because he talked about how that's where you find out everything you need to know about your defense, whether they're bought in, whether they love each other and are willing to play for each other. Like, am I getting swept up in a really good quote, or is he really right about how we measure a defense and how important that is?
Well, I've never seen a great defense that didn't run to the football. So essentially by all 11 guys committing to sprinting to the ball, you give yourself a chance. Now, that doesn't guarantee that you're going to have a great defense. That just means you got a shot at it. And in its simplest form, football is all about blocking and tackling. Well, the athletes are too good these days to solely rely on one-on-one tackling consistently and be successful at it. So the way to limit explosive plays is by having multiple tacklers at every ball carrier at all times, every single play. And that's what sprinting to the ball does for you. Now, the fact that those guys were willing to sell out week one in the way they did, it's a good sign. But by no means does that guarantee that you're going to have an elite defense.
I knew I could count on you for a great answer. I can let you guys go now. Evan has a guest appearance on Miami Vice based on his ensemble today.
Oh, wow.
Very good.
Crockett, Tubbs, and Cohen.
305. Let's go.
Guys, you're the best. I look forward to seeing you.
You got the white Ferrari parked outside.
Oh, you're going to be there today, Jason?
I am.
Jason, we'll
you're
going to be there?
We will have our Green Bay Tausch, game bay at the Tundra Trio.
Tausch, hello?
Tausch, going once?
Yeah, no, I can hear you. I'm not going to make you feel like a jerk. So no, unfortunately, I can't make the game, so no.
Okay, all right. They are unsportsmanlike. You hear them every morning across ESPN Wisconsin. And you can enjoy their comedic stylings.
Evan,
and their...
Evan running from a microphone? I've never seen this happen. Like, what is he? He's sprinting away from a
He's got
microphone.
A meeting.
That never happens.
He's got to go hang out with Don Johnson and the other guy. That's it for our time with Unsportsmanlike. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Again to the unsportsmanlike crew for joining us. My point guard work was substandard, but that's a lot of people to. It's like Jordan Love trying to get the ball to 10 different receivers, a little bit. Mm-hmm. But we appreciate them joining us. You heard something on unsportsmanlike this morning, Mark, from your guy Dan Orlovsky that piqued your interest. I did not hear it, so I'm going to hear it now.
This guy's a freak. This guy's an absolute problem. You know, don't take it from me. Take it from Jordan Mailata, who, you know, going into the first game last week when the Eagles were playing the Cowboys, Mailata was like, when we were playing the Cowboys, we would always have to start our week with, okay, what are we going to do with Micah Parsons? And so he's a tremendous, tremendous game-changing player. And if the Packers are going to be a team that in many ways a lot of us expect them to be, where they're in the NFC North race and the NFC Championship race, and, you know, Micah, this is a team that has a top three, top five defense, and Micah pushes 15-plus sacks, and you're seeing, you know, the impact that he has. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, that's the type of talent that he has. And I think, you know, everyone made a deal about last week and whatnot and the amount of snaps. Some positive, some what are we doing? You're going to see him just ramp up. And, you know, if he gets to that point in a quick period of time where he's playing, you know, 90%+ of those snaps, he's going to haunt opposing quarterbacks. Haunt opposing quarterbacks. This is a defense that has other talented pieces around them.
Tausch, what was it about that other than I feel like we can use that this guy's a freak, this guy's a problem, and we could just use him saying that and put it on anybody because he never actually says it. Parsons there.
That's a drop. Two things really stood out. The fact that he said haunt twice is accurate. He is going to haunt quarterbacks. But I always like when I tell you guys things – and then it gets validated by others. Not that I need, you know, I have my resume in this league is strong. I don't have any problem. I'm going to tell you what I think.
Mm-hmm.
But when I tell you that we go in these meetings and we say, Troy Polamalu is a problem, people. We're going to actually bypass linebackers to double team up to Troy Polamalu because he's a game wrecker. And when you hear him say Jordan Mailata, who is a big boy left tackle for the world champs,
mm-hmm.
saying, boy, you know, it was a nice refresher that we could just go put our game plan in. We didn't have to sit there and think, oh, boy, where's number 11 for the Cowboys? Oh, he's number one for the Packers. Oh, well, mm-hmm. we'll have to worry about that down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you understand how much that matters?
I do.
And why I was dumbfounded that the Dallas Cowboys would do this and how, oh, my God, Green, this is such a game changer. Listen to the guy who's playing left tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles talk about it. And Orlovsky relaying it. And Haunt? We're a bunch of like, there's a lot of ego in these rooms. And he ain't wrong. Like, those, I guarantee you, Penei Sewell last week, or two weeks ago now, Thursday is when this happened, this trade.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When that trade happened, I'm sure Sewell was probably out having a nice dinner. And I guarantee you, when he heard that, even Penei, who is a stud, I would bet took a gulp and was like, blank.
He said, oh, Lois.
I almost guarantee it. This is now a problem. Mm-hmm. Morgan Wallen's song, a problem, whatever, however that goes. Now it's going to be a problem twice and maybe three times a year because of this. That's what we got. That's why I found that clip so fascinating, because sometimes you got to just think, well, that's pretty dang good. And I thought Orlovsky's little quote there and on Jordan Mailata and everything else really hit, kind of fits why we're so fortunate that he is with us and not with somebody else.
That was really good. You were even better than Orlovsky relaying Jordan Mailata's view. Be just as good talking about Jones Dairy Farm, and I know you will because you loved your trip there.
We did. We had a great trip. There's a new video up with their big dog out at Jones Dairy. Family-owned and operated for seven generations in Fort Atkinson since 1889. And you know what? Everybody wants to eat clean. Oh, I don't want all this. I don't want all these fillers and the nitrates and MSG. Well, they've been doing it from the jump. They're natural sausage made from the original family recipe. It's available in pork and chicken and in turkey. They also, we know about their great bacon, their Braunschweiger. They got fully cooked meatballs. They have it all. Head on over to JonesDairyFarm.com. Check out the videos. Check out everything they have to offer. We love supporting Wisconsin companies while Jones Dairy has been at it and better and anybody for over seven generations right here in Fort Atkinson.
The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde.
Was that a long? Was that pause? Was that pause awkward for you?
Oh, I did. I didn't know Fort Atkinson.
I was
going to
say
the
we play Fort
there.
Atkinson tonight in football, and why yeah. I can't. Why I will not be up at the Commanders game. We got a big tussle with Fort Atkinson tonight.
Tough matchup. Got to watch out for Fort.
We'll find out.
No, I just wasn't. I didn't realize you. There's no Jones Dairy Farm. We'll see you next time. The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.